So let me give you a name of a guy. He's not a Christian. Okay, just let you guys know this. His name is Peter Zeehan. I don't know if you followed him at all. Z-E-I-H-A-N. Peter Zeehan. Z-E-I-H-A-N. So I've been following him for about a week now, a little bit. And so he is a man who does, he has a worldview of what where nations are right now and what's going on in nations. So it's not from a biblical perspective, just let you guys know that, right? Just make sure we're all kind of on the same page. But he looks at demographics, he looks at economies, he looks at all over the world. And fascinating. It's very, very fascinating because one of the things that he's talking about is China, because of their one child policy for 40 years, their population is aging out.
Yeah.
And they're not going to have enough young people to work or purchase. So he thinks they have at the most 10 years left as a nation. Before they're going, maybe five, before they're going to not be able to work, provide, so forth. He also said that China's only nation that they can partner with is Russia.
Yeah.
There is no other nation that they can partner with. In fact, if you guys have followed, on the South China Sea, they built an island that's a military base. And their goal was to intimidate Japan, Vietnam, South Korea into fear to work with them. And all they did was all these nations went and signed a peace treaty with them. So it isolated China even more. They also said, the premier of China has removed all the intelligent people out of his country. And he is alone navigating all this without the intelligent people to help him. So he said basically it'd be like a multi-million dollar company and the CEO has to make all the decisions for everything.
Why did he get rid of the competition? He didn't want other intelligent people around.
Yes.
So he
is in charge of 1.3 billion people and they are coming to, so he does it with Canada, he does it with China, he does it with Europe, he does things with Russia, Ukraine. And so what he does is he connects the dots of what's going on in Ukraine and how this is going to affect the rest of the world. So fascinating. Very fascinating. Again, this is not with divine intervention. This is not with God. This is just a man who's looking at the demographics of the world and says, this is where our world is going. In fact, he's right here, just wrote a book, The End of the World. And I think it's called The New Beginnings. But he does it just through, he talks about the United States of America, he's from America, where our country's at, but it's been fascinating to listen to a person who is not a believer, but is also really going, we're in trouble, you know, we're in trouble as a world, because our world is getting older, and we are not keeping up with the population of having babies, except for, I think Chad, some African countries and maybe some Latin American countries, but even in the United States, we're aging. We're getting to that point where the boomers are retiring, and we don't have the younger folks coming in to work or to buy, right? So all these consequences long term of choices. That long term, how much it's going to affect our world, but. Fascinating where his belief, I think it's his belief is that, I don't know if it's called in terms of it, but globalization is coming to an end. It's not going to last. It started in 2015 where globalization, and he said reason being is because United States up to them, the reason why the open economy works because we police the world. And now the United States says we can't afford to do that anymore. So we've backed out of, starting in 2015, policing the world. So now we don't have secure supply chains. We don't have the ability to get, this country provides nickel or provides this, and we're not sure we can get it. And so it creates havoc over here. So what's going on in Ukraine is creating havoc in other parts of the world, but he connects the dots. So you might just want to listen to him. He's got a podcast out of Colorado, and he just starts talking about what's going on in our world. And they call him the doomsdayer, I believe, the doomsday prophet, you know, because he goes for the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to be in trouble.
So then how close does he think we are to midnight? Because a lot of them predicted we're like, it's either 11:55, 30 seconds.
Okay, so anybody ever heard of the doomsday clock?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
He doesn't talk about that at all. So they reset the. People who are doomsday clock started in the 40s with Einstein after the first nuclear war, and it's like nuclear bomb was set off. When will the next nuclear thing happen? And they set it in 2023 at 1,000 seconds. So that's where they set it at. So we're 1,000 seconds from nuclear war holocaust, but they haven't got it right yet. It's been since the 40s.
Oh, thank you,
Jamie. Flash.
Yeah.
Anytime
so if you guys get a chance to listen to him again, third warning, it's not that he cusses or he's got a foul mouth or nothing like that. He looks specifically from the demographics of where the world is. And he looks economy, but he mainly looks at our world is getting older and we are not providing the workforce of younger people because you need 2.6 children per woman to keep up with the amount of deaths that are taking place. And in China, like right now, it's like at one time it was like 0.6. So they can't recover from this, is what he's saying. It's just 40 years of the one-child policy. So.
And it hasn't. You know, it hasn't been long enough yet that, you know, there's a lot of doctors and scientists saying that the COVID shot, because it settles in the testes and the ovaries, that there aren't going to be, I mean, not that people still will on surveillance, but there aren't going to be as many as people are wanting to have. That will be interesting to see if that's, you know.
So what's the reason why I bring this up? It's because it's not just the Christian version. It is the reality that our world is in trouble. And according to this guy, in some places, like
this
in
Europe, not a Christian?
He's not a Christian.
Oh.
So for yeah, he's not a Christian.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
So he talks about what's going on in Germany with their ability to. They're really in trouble right now in Germany. And so it's just been a fascinating as I've been delving into the Book of Revelation. From a guy who's not a Christian to go, yeah, this is what this is all saying. This is what the data is saying. This is what my, and it's like fascinating stuff. So,
is he on YouTube?
Pardon me?
Is he on YouTube?
Mm-hmm. Peter Zeihan, Zeihan.
Zeihan.
Zeihan. Zeihan. So, if that's interesting to you guys for further insight. If not, he doesn't have faith. He doesn't have Christ. He doesn't have anything to work for himself. But it's interesting. Okay, let's begin. Pray. We'll start. Well, Father, thank you that you are the answer. And as we're looking in the Book of Revelation, people are always searching for an answer other than you. And you graciously, marvelously, wonderfully, patiently keep drawing humankind to yourself. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We're in the age of grace. We're in that season of grace, Lord, where all men all come. You're all are welcome. And, Father, we ask in Jesus' name for the spirit of wisdom and revelation as we open up this Book of Revelation. And, Father, we look for insights that are beyond anything that we could know. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to reveal Jesus to us, and we welcome you to encourage our hearts with this wonderful book, the revelation, the truth of not only what will, but what has, and we get to see really what's going on. So thank you for this time. Thank you for each of the gathered. Bless them and give them insights, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 9. We are still in the trumpet judgments. We're going to be in judgments until Revelation 15 and 16, maybe 17. Yeah, I've been reading ahead, and wow, it's getting really interesting. Well, it's already interesting. Verse 1, the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. Well, good for you. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts look like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like a woman's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. They have breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had as a king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek Apollyon. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And four angels who have been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Cheery, cheery chapter. Cheerio. You guys ready?
So do you think the third is the people saved from before?
Say again? Okay, so the fifth angel sounds his trumpet, and this is the first of three woes. So as John writes, and I'm reading more just because it gets more and more intense, right? So as John writes down the vision of this horror of locusts, he lavishes more detailed descriptions of these super locusts than any other creature in this vivid book. So all the creatures, you see dragons, you're going to see beasts, but he gives extreme detail on what these locusts look like, or these locust-like creatures. They're not locusts, they're locust-like creatures. And the fifth and sixth trumpets, the first and second woes, are given more than twice the space to their description than he gives the previous four trumpets altogether. First question we have to ask is in verse 1 is, who is the star that has fallen from the sky? Who is this? And so here's a few options. First option is Satan. This is the first option of the star that falls from the sky. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. There's a lament, mocking verse of the king of Babylon's fall, where it says, where Isaiah writes, How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. Isaiah chapter 14. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus told the 70 as they returned from their preaching mission that he had seen Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So, what John may be seeing, and we're not there yet, is the aftermath of the warfare in heaven mentioned in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, where Satan lost his place in heaven and was cast to the earth. So what John might be seeing in Revelation 9 is what took place when we read in Revelation chapter 12. So remember, Revelation isn't concurrent. Because we got the birth of Jesus in Revelation chapter 12, which actually happened way earlier. So what John might be witnessing is when Satan was removed from heaven and cast to the earth. Verse 1 does not record the fall itself, but rather the star is seen as already fallen. So it doesn't say, he records it, and I saw a star that had fallen. It's not present tense, it's past tense, from the sky to the earth. So what we're seeing, potentially we could see, is that this is a description of the morning star, an angel, a fallen angel, which many believe was Lucifer, who now becomes the devil or Satan. Not all believe that, but there is that theology that Lucifer became Satan. So if this is so, then it seems that he is the one who releases the horde of demons on the earth and gives them the instructions on their perimeters of what is and isn't allowed. So the star that falls gives the perimeters of what these locust-like creatures can and cannot do. Don't harm the grass, don't harm the trees, and don't harm anyone who's got the seal of God on their forehead, which takes us back to Revelation chapter 7, when God sealed those who are his with a seal on their forehead. Okay, so
the fallen star gives the parameters?
That's if Satan is the person.
But God doesn't give the parameters, the limits on...
We will get there. Okay. Very good. Good question. We'll get there.
Mark, is that right? If this is going to be the wrath of Satan rather than God,
nope.
He's allowing...
Nope. This is, as we get into it, God has already put parameters that he gives room for Satan, if this is Satan,
right.
Saying these are your parameters
right.
of what you can or cannot do. If this is Satan, what he is now doing is he's telling these locust-like creatures that come out of the abyss, this is what you can do and this is what you can't do, established by God himself.
But he can establish it.
Correct. God has established all the parameters.
Right.
Now, what he can or cannot
right.
do. And so, and just let me go back for a moment. It's always been that way. God has always put, here's what you can do, and here's what you can't do. He has never once given Satan carte blanche, and whatever you want to do, go for it. Which I think is a teaching that I've heard, that until Jesus, Satan ruled the earth. Until Jesus. But the authority that was given to Satan... if we believe that, at the fall, was not fall for all of the earth. God has never given up authority of the earth.
You're talking about parameters. It reminds me of what he told Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, from where have you come? To and fro, wandering the earth.
The book of Job.
Have you considered my servant Job?
Book of Job.
And they set parameters.
Right.
So, yes. When he walked, what, through the stones, it was, you know, everything before Adam, before Adam was engineered.
If this is, yeah, well, the...
Lucifer, the one...
There's debate on that, there's debate, but most traditional theologies say that the angelic beings were created before he created the heaven, before he created the earth, because they were part, Job talks about when God asked Job the question, where were you when the earth of foundation was formed and where the morning star sang? So there was that, that the earth was, the earth and angels weren't created at the same time, but angelic beings were created before the earth was made. Now, well, I'm reading that book, I'm reading it, I don't know, Mark's reading it too. Just this, well, that's for another time, another day. It's another time. Yeah, Dr. Michael Eisen. So here's a, so the first option is Satan. The second option is that it's an angel or a divine angel, that it's literally an angel. So what we know throughout the book of Revelation is that we see angels carrying out the will of God in various circumstances.
In a star, maybe an angel?
Could be an angel or a divine agent. So we see the 24 elders, we see the four living creatures, we see different angels that have different responsibilities. So it could be an angel, because in the book of Revelation, stars consistently are symbolized by angels. And so when it means to fall, it doesn't mean it's a default, it's a fallen angel. It means that it's an angel who descended for a task. So it's not like this is a fallen angel that's going to open the abyss. It could be very well that it's one of God's divine agents, an angel that's job is to open up the abyss for the next part of God's judgments on the earth.
That's another view.
Yes.
So what I think of the scripture that says, don't be afraid of, I can't remember, but afraid of what can kill the soul. What was that scripture?
Jesus talks about that. But what can kill the flesh, or kill the body, but not harm the soul.
Right. So, I mean, I got to think that's part of the perimeter, too, right?
Yeah, that is a perimeter, right?
Right.
Fear the one who can not. Who
yes.
Can, yes.
Was you a powerful man or something? Have you seen some of the
books?
No, I'm just saying.
Bad at that.
You guys can Google it on your phones. Look at the artist rendering of these locusts. They are weird locusts. Got the body of a locust, like the face of a man, teeth like a lion. That's how the artist depicts it. The crown. There's a scorpion-like tail kind of coming up behind the wings. How big did John say they were?
We'll get there.
I mean, are you talking like,
will
they ever devour man, or they just look something?
Well, they don't kill anybody. They just torture.
Yeah, only 5 months.
Five months of torture.
Can't kill anybody.
And then does the torture stop?
After 5 months, it indicates that it does, because there's again that perimeter limitation of how long they can bring torture to humankind who do not have the mark, the seal of God on their foreheads. And it's 5 months. And so when we get there, that is basically the lifespan of a locust. So locusts live about 5 months. So it's really the same lifespan as what a locust lives. So this angel, if this is an angel, it's not much different than we saw in the fifth trumpet, where an angel is given responsibilities by God to bring judgment on the earth. And we also see in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, this could be the same angel that comes out of heaven and has the keys to the abyss that locks Satan in for 1,000 years. So this could be the same angel that unlocks the abyss, and the same one who takes and binds Satan for 1,000 years. So this is the very first instance of scripture or expression in scripture, the word abyss. And basically in the Greek, it means a bottomless pit. So this is a place where there is no end. It's a holding place. It's a place where it comes to a finality. And it's 7 times found in the book of Revelation. So this word abyss, first time we see it in scripture, and it's referenced 7 times. So it's an important place in the sense of where God's judgment comes from, where Satan's bound to. And if you want, it's Revelation 9, 1 and 2, and also 11. We'll get there. Revelation 11, 7, 17, 8. So we're going to get through all these together. And Revelation 20, verses 1 and verse 3. So we see that the star was given the key to the shaft. So notice again, it was given to him. So whoever it is, okay, go ahead.
Well, in my version, it says to the angel was given the key of the shaft. So I was thinking in that context, it was the fifth angel that had been given the key.
Well, the fifth angel sounded his trumpet. And then another, so the fifth angel's job was to sound the trumpet. And then another angel was given the key to the abyss. So in fact, let me pause, parenthetical pause. Man, I almost started crying when Sean blew the shofar this morning.
Oh,
and I went, I wonder if that's what it's going to sound like.
Yeah.
Right? That just a, you know, and I was just kind of lifting up a little bit. But just, I was just, and as they were singing the songs, you know, I don't know if you caught it, but a lot of the songs were on the book of Revelation, you know. With the white horse riding, you know, and I was going, oh man, this is going to happen one day. You know, then Sean, I want to blow the shofar over you, man. Jesus, is this what it's going to sound? Oh, sorry, I'm on the pause, but I just was really moved by when I hear trumpets and I hear the shofar or whatever, it's different now. You know, it's different because, you know, I believe it's going to pierce the sky. The trumpet sound is going to happen. We're just, you know, wow, so cool. So again, by giving the key, we have parameters of what a person, whoever this is, I personally believe, do this rarely, I personally believe this is not Satan, I personally believe this is an angelic, divine angelic being that's given an assignment by God. So it's given a key, and again, here's the parameters situation. A key was given. This is not, they have carte blanche, they can do whatever they want. They can release to it is parameters. A key was given to unlock the abyss, the shaft of the abyss. So this abyss is closed until the key is given. And it seems that this is a doorway, this abyss, to like even a subterranean chasm. So that this actually may be a physical underworld that is only released through spiritual beings. So it's not like I've heard that where they dug holes and heard the sounds of people moaning and demons crying. I think it's just the wind over the hole. But this is like...
So maybe hell is in the center of the earth.
Yeah, I don't know. When we get there, that's a big question. But yeah. Airbnb, let's go.
That's what people believe in the spiritual realm, but if you study it out in scientific, the Earth's core is actually solid.
Aren't we in there?
Well, isn't it molten lava? Is it the
very center?
Is it iron?
Iron. If you think about some of the other scriptures, when they talk about the bottomless pit, and if you went north, and eventually, you know, if you went south the other direction, they never, you know, how do I explain it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like you never reach it, so it's,
right.
It's bottomless, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah.
No, yeah. It's just how you look at it. Did that make any sense?
Yes. And here's why. I don't believe you all. Why would all the global elites go to the middle of Antarctica and what did they find under the ice? They might have found the
opening. Thanks, Brian. They found it out there.
They're meeting with some sort of being.
That's possible.
You would know them as an NWO or the
bring the parameters in a little bit. We'll bring the parameters.
Just
saying.
That's what it did. It's called it. You got the smoke and all that. So it's not burning volcanoes.
So there are some verses that are mysterious. Luke chapter 8, verse 31. Yeah.
I can't. Okay, so he was given the authority. Who gave him the authority? Where does it say that?
Well, there's two thoughts here. Well, ultimately God. Because these are the judgments of God.
Does it say here?
Pardon me?
Does it say here somewhere?
Well, it starts back to when the judgments began.
Oh, okay.
In the trumpet judgments.
Okay.
So we can't take it out. We can't take it out of the context. These are God's judgment on the earth. Say again what?
They were told
not to
harm
the rest.
That the angel sounds a trumpet, but the star falls from heaven, and to him was given the key of the box of
wisdom. Right, it doesn't say.
So, let's keep moving.
Could you repeat what you said about the doors from underground that thought it was Kekos?
A subterranean chasm. Or chasm, depending on how you say it. So there's some mysterious verses. One is Luke chapter 8. Someone turn there, would you please? Luke 8:31. And when you, if you want to get that one, say, I'll take that one.
Luke 8:31.
You got it? We need 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Who will take that one? And then we need Jude, verse 6. 2 Peter 2, 4, Jude 6, and Luke chapter 8:31. Go ahead. Who's got what?
8:31. They were imploring him not to command them to go away into the abyss.
So Jesus was casting out demons, remember? And so they implored him, do not send us into the abyss. Oh, so that's where the revelation.
He cast the demons into the swine.
Into the swine instead.
And then they drowned.
Right? So these demonic beings know about the abyss. This is not like revelation only. They begged him not to be cast into the abyss. Who's got 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4?
They left it up front,
but 2 Peter, they
Second
did?
Peter, what?
2, 4.
For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And so keep going.
Yeah, keep going. Verse 4, 5.
And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people.
So Peter has this cryptic message about if God did not spare the angels but put them in chains. And then Jude 6, who's got Jude 6? Go ahead, Mary.
The angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode is reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day.
So in this mystery, there are these angels that, who are they? Where did they come from? What happened to them? Why did they make those choices? The Bible doesn't say, but there are angelic beings that are in chains, and some believe this is their release for just 5 months. So they're bound, unable to do anything until they're released from the abyss for these 5 months' torment.
But if they're being held until judgment, is this?
Well, this is the judgment of God. So this is God's judgment. So that's what they're saying. This is because.
Yeah.
I think it's just a judgment, but it's not. Okay, this is not like in stone. This is just one of the theologies. Yeah.
So you're saying it's the heavenly, the bad heavenly ones. But when you keep going Peter, then it's like unrighteous, period.
Yeah, so it was a divine angel who released these from the abyss. Clear as mud?
Right.
Clear as abyss. So later, what happened? Go ahead, Ryan.
Later on in Revelation, it's the same kind of when the four corners are holding back, and basically they release it. It's kind of the same. I think it's the same type.
Yeah, so we see here in Revelation 9, we see the angels that, when we get there, at the great river Euphrates, who have been held for a moment's time. We're also going to see angels that are bound for, in Revelation, gosh, I just read it, 18, 19, 18 maybe? I'm wrong there. But there's like these angels that are released for just a moment. So they aren't able to do their task until God releases them to do their task.
at the river Euphrates.
Like here in Revelation, yeah, at the river Euphrates, who then they're released to kill a third of mankind. And I did, I think I put it in my notes, that previously we see a fourth of mankind killed, and then we see a third of mankind killed. So I did the math, and I think I put it on here. It's, and we're going to get there. Basically what happens, I'm just jumping all over the map. Basically, if this is literal, then half the world's population are going to die. 4 billion people are going to die in these two things that are going on.
The first one was a quarter? I don't remember. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a third of the trees and a third of the water. And it was a fourth.
I think we do a quarter and a fourth, yeah, quarter and a fourth. A quarter and then a third. So, total is 4 billion people are going to...
Well, that scripture that said if Jesus said if he didn't shorten the days, that, you know, that there would be no flesh left alive. Mm-hmm. That would kind of go in.
Can you do like a little synopsis to where we're at and kind of...
From
nine at nine. I'm kind of like, because we
take Jeff,
a joke and then sure. We take a joke and then kind of
sure. So the fifth angel is the trumpet, the fifth trumpet of the seven trumpets of God's judgment on the earth. And this trumpet, when it's blown, there is a being of some sort, probably divine, probably an angelic being that God uses. That's one of his angels to open up. This key has a key to the abyss, and as he opens up the shaft of this abyss, the bottomless pit, out comes from this abyss hordes of locust-like creatures that are so thick that it darkens the sky. So that's where we're at right now.
Okay.
And some believe that this is the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 8, when the sky turns dark in Revelation 8. The moon, third of the moon, third of the sun, and a third of the stars is because this horde of locust-like creatures are so thick it darkens the sky. Now, it doesn't have to be, but it's like it doesn't say how wide a third of the stars, a third of the sun, and a third of the moon was turned dark. It doesn't say how that happens. It just says it happened. So some theorize that this is what takes place when the abyss is opened. And they are now, the earth is just overshadowed. Kind of like if you guys lived through Mount St. Helens, it darkened a portion of the earth just by the thickness of the cloud, the smoke coming from it. So this is being personified as smoke coming out of the abyss, that as a smoke fills the earth, it darkens the earth. And it could be part of the fourth trumpet.
The hard part is that it isn't chronological. I think that's what makes this so hard to follow.
Yeah. And it's a revelation of Jesus. It's on loyalty, following Christ. It's all the other stuff is somewhat speculative, but it's all just showing us what has happened, what's taking place now, and what will take place. The three things that, for John. So it is recognizing that there is judgment now on the earth from man's sin. And we see when judgment comes, what man does. They just say, I don't care. I don't want you. Okay. Pardon me?
I see a lot of people that are trapped in some of that same, in the spiritual sense. Mm-hmm. And they're trapped in some of that.
So if this is literally what's happening, if there's picture... Suddenly, the earth is darkened. And we're going to get to these locusts, John's description of it. But one of the questions that John doesn't answer is this. Does mankind, without the seal, who are being tormented, do they actually see these beasts?
Oh, the ones.
Doesn't say.
The ones that Mars?
The ones who are not, the ones who are being tormented. Do they see these locust-like creatures that are going, that are scattered all over the earth, and they're coming toward you?
Oh, so you're feeling, you can be like a spiritual thing.
We're going to look at that. Yeah,
yeah, like you're messed up in the head.
Or, for example, the COVID thingy and all those.
Or is it something that is more of what John has seen is in the spiritual realm?
Right.
And all people are experiencing is torment for 5 months.
Right.
Right. You can't if they can see it or not. Yes.
Especially if it's stung, so I'm sure they feel it. If you've ever got stung.
Yeah, they'll feel it.
It itches and hurts at the same time.
It is like, yeah. So, let's keep going. Guys, got a lot of questions.
Quick.
Good stuff.
Kind of going back for a second, but have you heard the theory that the reason for the flood was when the fallen angels said Noah was perfect in his generations, which implies that they were the only generation or Noah's generation that wasn't impacted by the fallen angels having sex with the women, and that was the reason for the flood?
I have.
I'm just curious.
Bring that call.
That's why I'm reading Heiser's book. Because what I've heard so far, I don't think the theology has been good enough. So I'm reading Heiser's book.
Yeah, it's hard because there's some of them read different, but it all has to do with the gene pool.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Verses 3-6. I like that you guys have a lot of questions. Thank you. Terry, did you have a question? Say anything what?
I thought when you started, you said there were three different interpretations.
Just two, couple. One's Satan and one's a divine, like an angel. From yes,
but
thank you.
Everybody else agrees on everything else?
Pardon me?
That everyone else agrees
no.
on everything else?
No. No.
Of course not.
And it all breaks down to this, is how much of it's symbolic and how much of it's literal.
Right.
So a guy named Wolverd is one of the guys, Dr. Wolverd, I'm reading. He believes in a literal interpretation of that. There are others who do not believe it's literal, but it's symbolic of what's been taking place on the earth for thousands of years. So millions of people have been killed. Millions of people have been tormented. Millions of people have died by satanic oppression. So if this is during the 7 years of the Great Tribulation, and this is literal, okay, then this is literally happening in that seven-year window, that seven-year period. If this is symbolic, John is writing of what is taking place on the earth for thousands of years.
Quick thought real quick.
So
with the overturning of Roe versus Wade thing God happened back in June, you think about these demonic beings that have been launched out to destroy mankind. A third of the world population, well, if you calculate how many abortions have happened up until point of this last summer, I don't really want to have to do the math, but wouldn't that be a third of the world population?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have
to. Pretty interesting to think about, you know, because Satan becomes a shield's calling story. How else is he going to do it?
Well, I'm liking that we have a broad look at it, but we're also bringing in, you know, what would we do with this torment for 5 months? There's a lot of stuff that, I'm telling you, the book of Revelation, I am having so much fun, but I'm reading a lot of different theologies because no theology is like, nailed it. Every theology is like, what about this, what about that, what about that? Every theology has to have that, and what every theology finally gets to is like, it's, well, by faith, you gotta, you know, we believe by faith it could be. So that's why I'm really not trying to say nailed it, it's this way. Because there are arguments, and I think God does this, there are arguments that says, no, this doesn't work. Pre-tribulation rapture doesn't work in this context. Amillennialism doesn't work in this. Post doesn't work in this. There are things where it just doesn't work when you take the whole of Scripture. So what we're trying to do is not identify who the players are, but to be followers of Jesus Christ no matter what. Loyalty to Jesus. Who are we going to worship? Period. Because what we see throughout the earth is that people, we are a rare breed that has not had to suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. This is rare, what we're experiencing. This really is not normal of what normal Christianity is. Most normal is that you are somehow being persecuted if you identify as a Christian.
There's
So we're living in this
window. Does the Bible say that we're like aliens?
Yeah, it's not Americans, but we aren't. It's more like we are foreigners in this land, right? That's First Peter 2. So what we're trying to do is really look at the theology to stress, to press, to make you stretch a little bit and go, I don't know, but not to blow our minds like, oh, who can know this? Revelation is a book that is not like a one-time shot, got it. It's something where we are really to delve into. And as we said at the beginning, it's the only book in the New Testament or the Bible that said there's a blessing for those who read it. And there's also judgment for those who take away from the words. What's that?
Or add to.
It's like the plagues that you read are going to be given to you. So there's a weightiness on Revelation that we need to really lean into. That I've been a Christian for a long time. This is the first time Revelation has been like, oh, this is cool.
Because the signs of the times continue to change.
Correct. And then you read, but move on. Thank you.
For such a time as this.
So out of the abyss, out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that as scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm. They were told, here we go, limitations. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will not elude it. So it's to be noted that these locusts do not look like scorpions, but were given the power like that of scorpions of the earth to torment those who do not bear the seal of God. That's Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 through 4. The imagery of locusts appearing like armies, advancing like a cloud, darkening the heavens, and sounding like the rattle of chariots goes back to Joel's vision of the locust army that came on Israel as judgment of God in Joel chapter 1, verse 6, and Joel chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. So, locusts have always been terrifying to nations because you can't stop them. They just have to do their devastation. So the imagery of locusts is like, have you ever seen a locust swarm and how they just eat everything in its path? Okay.
It's been in the news in the last 4 or 5 years, all those plagues they had going.
It is devastating to a world.
It is dark, too, like you said.
It's like clouds, right? Have you seen the locust swarm?
Yeah.
Right? You can't stop it. I've seen them try to poison them. I've seen them try to do a bunch of stuff. But if it's so large, they just have to eat their way out. They just have to finish their task. And they're, like I said, they live for about 5 months. We also can see the imagery of one of the judgments of God on the nation of Egypt in Exodus chapter 10, verse 15. So the judgments of God have been done before. That's why I believe this is literal. Don't have to agree. You might not even have an opinion. But because in Exodus, it was literal judgments upon Egypt, and God is judging, and we'll see later, this is Egypt, this is Babylon, that this is literal events that are taking place on the earth. But these are not natural locusts that just eat the trees, eat the grass. This is what locusts would naturally eat here. So this is not locusts of natural beings. This is also, I feel very strong about, and you can argue, but it's okay. This is not Apache helicopters.
No, it's something like this. Whoa. I mean, literally just picks it. Face like a man, teeth like a lion, hair like a woman, crown on its head. There's a scorpion's tail. That's why I wish we had a spring on.
You know, the picture I keep getting, and it's just probably me, but what they didn't have, you know, until just recently is drones. Bigger drones, not the little ones necessarily. But
So, are you thinking the locusts are drones?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to tell all that, you know.
God only does it naturally. He doesn't do it by what man does.
Interesting point.
No.
Yeah. Well, what we're seeing, what I believe we're seeing, are demons. It's the demonic. It's the angels that are releasing a demonic horde on the earth, that God is using that to bring judgment on the earth, of like he did with Pharaoh. That when Pharaoh worshipped his gods, that God used the very plagues of the gods to say, these are not gods. So one of the plagues was the plague of locusts on Egypt. But now we've upped the ante to where we're not, because we're not touching the grass, we're not touching the trees, we're not touching the plants. What we're going after, it's going after human beings who have not been sealed by God. They don't bear the mark of God. God is preparing quickly. We're going to see coming up in the next two chapters, and time's going to go by real fast, is that Satan uses the very thing that God uses of image bearing and also being marked by putting that on people that are his followers. So what we're going to see as we get to the revelation, Satan doesn't create anything new. He mimics God in every aspect to get people to worship him. So he has a false Christ. There is a lamb that has the voice or the language of a dragon. So we are going to see the unholy trinity here coming up in Revelation 13. Of the unholy trinity that's starting to come up. And the whole goal is this, to get the worship of humankind away from God and unto himself. So pay attention to that. That's not a one-day event. That is right now. Who are we going to worship? Who are we going to be loyal to? So I'm not talking Sunday mornings from 10 o'clock to noon. I'm not talking about that. That is a small fraction of the heart that says, my loyalty is to Jesus Christ alone, and my worship of my life is his alone. And the worship looks like this. I give you everything. I'm obedience to you in everything. Okay. It's going to be interesting next week. Who comes back? So. Thanks.
So you believe that Apollyon is a good angel?
No.
Okay, so now the angels change, because, right? So the angel of the... So he released... Okay. So
we'll get there. Okay. We will get there.
Okay.
Yeah, over them, over not over the... Unlock the abyss, but over them, those demonic horde.
Right.
So this is not a good angel, because this, in Hebrew... And in Greek, it means the same thing. Destroyer. What's that?
Yeah, I never thought he was supposed to be either, but I was confused. Yeah.
It's okay.
That opens the abyss. That was a good angel.
It's okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So Apollyon is one of the false gods that is worshipped. I mean, he's known as a god. He's a god of destruction. In fact, I think that's one of the names that the Masonic Lodge, you know, they're trying to reincarnate in each president.
Oh, really? I've never heard
one
that.
That's one of the names. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard that. Wow. Just stay away from
him. Yeah, he is not a good guy.
His name means destroyer. Yeah.
So he opened the
Bible
and all these and the guy to lead them all. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll explain it.
Okay.
We'll explain it. Hopefully we'll explain it. But what we see in chapter 9, verses 3 through 6, you see they were told what they can and what they cannot do. They were told who they can harm and who they cannot harm. They told that they can't kill anyone. They can just torment. They can't death. Or what, they're wanting to die, and amazing, God and or Paul, John here, he personifies death and says death eludes them. They're wanting to die, but death won't allow them to die. So, indications being, because Jesus holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave, that Jesus is commanding death. You cannot take anybody. During these 5 months, death has no authority to take a life. Which is
the one where it says, don't be afraid to wipe them.
Correct. Yeah. So in this, Jesus, I see this as God's mercy and God's grace, because if people were to die in this fallen state, the eternal consequences are a lot more than 5 minutes of torment. So God, in his mercy and his grace, is continually giving people an opportunity to say yes to him. They don't deserve it. They deserve to be cast away from him. And yet he's trying to use things that would capture their attention, because Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so, hasn't penetrated their heart. So he's using more extreme measures to get their attention. And then they say, I would rather be dead. I'd rather die. And Jesus says, no. This is not him being punitive, like going, oh, I just want to watch you suffer. It's not him. This is 5 months versus eternity. So, as we talked about, the lifetime, the timeline for their torment concurs with the life cycle or period of a locust. It lasts for 5 months, and it is like the sting from a scorpion. This is not unlimited agony released on those who do not bear the seal of God. There is a specific time, and then it's over, 5 months. John does not say what happens to them within the 5 months, when the 5 months conclude. Possibly these locust-like creatures return to the abyss from which they came. So it doesn't seem like they continue on for the rest of the tribulation. It seems like they've got a 5 month lifespan, and then, because if this is demonic horde, which I believe it is, demons cannot be killed, they are stuck back into that place, as Peter talks about and Jude talks about, where they're being chained, where they're being held for the final judgment. They're released during God's judgment, as Peter says, but then there's also the final judgment where God eradicates all evil and he creates a new heaven. That's going to be fun. So though full judgment is deserved, we see from verses 20 and 21 where they did not repent. They do not come as it should or could. We see that the sting only lasts for 5 months. It's a finite time. It's a limited time. We saw earlier a fraction, one third previously, of people who were killed, a third of a people who were, a third of the earth, a third of the ocean, a third of the water. It happens 8 times in chapter 8. It's a third, a third, it's a third, that God doesn't bring full judgment on the earth. He's constantly trying to get people's attention. So what John is trying for us to see is that God is not just saying, wipe them out. He's incrementally putting these judgments on people, upon the earth, for them to repent, and they don't. It's remarkable to me.
So is there a time that you feel like there's people preaching to them at this point?
Some believe so, yeah. Some believe that there are Christians on the earth during this time that are still bearing witness to the gospel. Many will become martyrs because of their faith in Christ. One of the things, if this is literal, there will be a great distinction between those who are suffering and those who bear the image of God.
So you have sealed the forehead.
Those who are sealed, just like in Egypt with the Jews, where all this was going on, all of the plagues, everything, and Goshen, the land of Goshen, had none of it. They actually had light shining. They had no locusts. None of their cattle died. Firstborn didn't die. All this on the Israelis, they would have been obvious to the Egyptians that something was different from them. the theology is that the world is going to know those who are marked or sealed by God because they are not being tormented for 5 months like most of the world. Some think, speculation, that this is one of the ways in which they are identified later for persecution. When we get to Revelation 12 and 13, is that they did not go through any suffering during the 5 months because the locust could not torment the followers of God because they bear the image, or bear the mark. Yeah. Oh, did Brian? Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
I know that some, and probably those believe in pre-rapture, that they say that those who are preaching at that time are the Jews that have accepted Messiah.
Yes, yes. So literally, pre-trib rapture believes that 144,000, we find them later in Revelation 18, they have kept themselves pure from women. They're like when David went to battle, that if you remember when David went to battle, there was no sexual intimacy before going to battle. They dedicated themselves to the Lord, that this 144,000 are going to be dedicated and they're going to evangelize the world during the seven-year tribulation. There'll be people that maybe at one time followed God, one time had a relationship with God or heard the message of God and it rings true. Others believe that we are still on the planet. As followers of Christ, we are still there to disciple, and we are there. We're going to go through this. Others believe we'll go through the first 3.5, which is the wrath where God releases the four horsemen. And then this, God's judgment, we are not part of that, because what happens to us if a third of the earth is being destroyed, a third of the water, a third of the, so what happens to believers? Are they caught up in that? So it creates a lot of good questions that we have to wrestle with. So pre-trib believes that this is 144,000 Jewish evangelists that were released. Brian.
Wait, you kind of alluded to it a little bit. So we talk about the seven-year tribulation. Timeline-wise, so from the seals to the trumpet, that's all the great tribulation, right? That three, mm-hmm. the last 3.5 years,
mm-hmm.
isn't that sort of, it's all in that time period.
Daniel's 70th week. So Daniel has, yeah, go ahead. Keep going. It's my own head. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we have 5 months of this, and then you've got all this other stuff going on. It's interesting. I mean, there's a lot going on that happens in 3.5 years. Because the first 3.5, basically, there's peace until the abomination happens, right?
That's what theology is, yeah.
Is that?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah, in the first...
I'm trying to put this
in a timeline. Sure.
You know, when we talk about tribulation, we talk about 7 years, but really all, most of this is happening in 3.5 years, right? That's a lot of destruction in 3.5 years.
Yeah.
This is literal. Good, of course.
Yeah, so that's the... If you remember, Daniel had a 7-year, right? So, pre-trib rapture, there's a thought of... First 3.5 years, Antichrist, he will make peace with Israel, and he brings peace also to the earth, that he's going to be the ultimate politician, he's going to be the ultimate leader, he's going to be the ultimate guy, right? And he's going to come, and the world's going to be looking for anybody who can bring peace, security, bring wealth, can bring anything on the earth. And this guy, for the first 3.5 years, probably coming out of Turkey, will come and he will bring this to the earth. And this is when he makes a pact with Israel. They can go back to their worship at the temple. They can have all these events taking place that, and then he's exposed for who he really is, that he is not their Messiah. He is a fake Messiah. And this ties in with the judgments of God that are coming onto the earth with the trumpets. The seals and the trumpets, and then the bowls. Yeah, what's that?
It's called in Daniel, I believe, Jacob's troubles, the time of Jacob's troubles. Is that like the whole, or is that the first 3.5 years? Do you know?
I don't know. Mark, do you know Jacob's troubles? Last 3.5 years. So again, though, again, that is one of the theologies. That is not all of the theologies. So the timeline for other theologies is that we have been in the tribulation since Jesus.
So when was the peace part? In our 20s?
Oh, you mean the peace and safety and sudden destruction?
Because he, well, because he's come, he said that his first message was, I've come to bring a kingdom. So his kingdom has come right now through his people. So we are the ones who bring peace to the earth by advancing the kingdom of God. So again, I gave you guys a sheet. The so the mid, the post-tribulation say that the earth is going to be so grand because of the evangelization of the world, that the world's going to get so great that Jesus has to come back because the world is so great. That we have, we've done our job to evangelize the world. And people will come into Christ, maybe you've heard of like in, by the billion, a billion soul harvest, and all these people are coming to Christ. This is part of the post-tribulation rapture theories. So, pre-trib, I think Lori had a good point. Well, then what's all this about if we're taken out when they need us the most? You know, that's Mike Bickle, guy I really respect highly. He believes that we're going to be left to disciple these people. And we're going to go through, man, we're getting way ahead, guys. We're going to go through tribulation. We're going to go through tribulation. God will protect us, but not protect us from physical harm, but he'll protect us that we will follow him all the way through unto the new heavens, the new earth.
But that just kind of starts putting these little in the slots.
That's what theology does.
Right. So what you're doing.
So. I'm
giving us this.
Yeah, I'm telling the slots are going.
Yeah.
Right? Because I refuse to live slotted.
Right.
So, but what I'm learning from all the different theologies, there is some great teaching. There's some great insight that I can't just dismiss. That they have got some great theological stances that I have to look at and go, that's what the Word of God says. And that's the context. And that is the original language. So that's why we're trying to impart a little bit without making our heads explode. Mark?
Oh, I was just looking at that time of Jacob's trouble. Some are saying the whole 7 years, others are saying this is referring to the time after the rapture.
Correct, right? And that's what you find in theology, guys.
I think it's just one of those things you have to kind of figure out.
Yeah. So that's why we're trying to stay out of the high weeds. It's the revelation of Jesus. It's a book on discipleship. It's a book on loyalty. It's a book on worship. It's all a book on where is our heart in whatever culture we live in whatever time we live in. The revelation is good because it challenges who are we going to be loyal to? Who are we going to worship? Bottom line.
Well, yeah, because then you're not just led astray by each theology. You're sitting here doing all this and know what there are. And like you said, none of them really completely seals it all. So in my mind, it's our take home should be, like you say, just keep your eyes open, keep studying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you're giving us the original language and context, right?
As much as possible, yeah. As much as possible of what is the historical context of this. So, yes. This is why I'm reading book after book after book, and that's why it's taken a long time to... But it's good. Oh man, it's been my pleasure. I'm hoping that it comes out as much as I'm enjoying. So what we have, we've got those who've been sealed, Revelation chapter 7, and we've got those who have not been sealed. They're not followers of God. This horde is being released upon them, and they're being tormented for 5 months. And this is a terrible judgment. Let's don't make light of it. That this sting like a scorpion is creating in them tormented life where you don't get a break from it. You don't have like this was a bad week. You got 5 months of 24 hours, 7 days a week where you're in torment. Once again, think of the practicality. Think of what that's going to do to your job. Think that's what's going to do to your family. Think who's going to take care of who. How it's going to take, how you're going to get to work. Who's going to fly the airlines? Who's going to be military post? It basically shuts the world down for 5 months because of the agony that people are in. Think about little kids at whatever age that is, that's their life for 5 months. This is going to be a horrendous time on the earth.
But there will be age accountability still.
That's God's one. That would be on God's side, right? But even if it's a teenager or just wherever, this 5 months, if you don't have the seal of God, torment is on your life. The only people who can function on the earth are those who have the seal of God.
And we don't live
at
that time to save souls.
What's that?
That's a really good time.
Our evangelist there.
I can just see, say, yeah, come on into my house. Come on, I got food, shelter.
So what is God doing? One of the things that our world teaches, our society teaches, that's been forever, is that humankind really isn't that bad. We're not that bad. We're at heart, we are good people. At heart. Now that we have a few bad eggs, we've got those like Stalin and Hitler and Dahmer and all these people. Dahmer would like to eat people. That's a bad deal. But at most, people are good at heart. And what God is revealing to people, without him, there is no one who has a good heart. The reason we have a good heart is because of him. So he's allowing the world to see the true condition of their heart. That when push comes to shove, I don't care what's happening. I don't care how much torment I'm in. I am not going to bow my heart to God. God is getting the world ready for righteous judgment, where they cannot say, this isn't fair, this isn't right, this isn't true. He's giving them time to see the true condition of their heart. Because he is just, and he is a righteous God. So he is, through these judgments, he is picking apart literally every argument that humankind has that says, I don't deserve this. I'm a good person. I'm right. And it's not true. So, these men, these women, it's when it says men, it's humankind. They're seeking for death, and they can't find it. And this is only the first woe. The angel's going, oh, man. You think that was bad? Ooh. I want us to just pause for a moment. I don't know if you ever had it like the flu or something where you were just not, when it was just awful.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Think about 5 months of that. And I'm not, you know, the sting, the poison, sting of that's going on. I've done that before. Yeah. Jesus, if you want to take me now, I'm okay with that. You don't think about, what about your kids? What about your grandkids? I don't care. Take me home, right? This is 5 months. This is why it is so awful. People want to die. Think about that. Think about a condition of your heart, condition of your life that is so tormented that you would rather die. And you can't. So I don't know if that means they pull out a gun and it goes blank. They jump off with a rope and it breaks. They stick a knife in their chest and it just like goes actor's knife. Or just kind of, think about it. They're trying, it seems like they're trying to kill them. They want to die. And it's not just like an emotional, I don't feel good. It seems as if they are seeking to die and death goes, I'm running from you. Now, if that's true, do you think that might catch your attention? Where you shoot the gun and it goes bang, and you're still there. What? This has got to be something very dramatic for people to go, I can't die. And it's all over the world. Nobody dies for 5 months. That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Where God says, I hold. Death, no. You can do nothing. Yeah, I read, interesting, over 100,000 people in the world die every day. I think it's 100,000, 160,000 people every day die in our world. 160,000. 5 months, no one dies. Talk about torment on torment. If you're a woman, it's like, I don't know. Well, Jesus said in the last days, it'll be like the days of Noah, where they'll be given in marriage, and there'll be going to work, and there'll be one in the field. So there will be life going on, guys. So don't think of this that everything pauses. And life continues to go on. And the human being has the ability, my personal opinion, human beings have the ability to explain away a lot. And they just want to keep life going. So there'll still be marriage. There'll still be children being born. People still be going to work. There'll be all this stuff that's still going on, but in a culture of an apocalyptic world. And so while we see in the movies, you know, they're trying to show an apocalyptic world, they're not even close, right? And it's always humankind prevailing in the end. Always prevailing in the end. And God's like, nope, that's not how it's going to end. That's why I don't worry about stuff, because God's already showed us how it's going to end. Okay, you guys got a few more. Let's go 5 more minutes.
Six truck.
What's that?
We might have to worship a little bit.
Pray in the spirit. I want to get to the locusts like creatures, and they'll be done. The locusts look like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled a human face. And this is just creepy. Their hair was like a woman's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails, they had power to torment people for 5 months. Notice it's in the tail. What's tormenting people? They had as a king over them, the one who's leading them is the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon and in the Greek Apollyon. So these are terrifying. If these can be seen, this is terrifying. These aren't locusts, like little bugs flying with a gold crown and big teeth and hair. That would be like a cartoon. These locusts are the size of horses. So don't think bug, think horse.
How do you know? Because I really pondered over that.
Good.
Because you can't tell.
They were like locusts.
Yes, they were like horses. Also.
Right. So, good question. My opinion is that these are not small little beings. These are huge animals that look like a locust and look like a horse.
But if that's the case, then you can just get your car and lock them out and shoot them out. You know, they can't get into small places. They can't get into your zapper.
Okay, but these are not beings like us. These are demonic hordes that take on the shape. So this is not like a horse can't get into your house and you can shoot him. This is demons that have taken on this shape to bring terror and to bring torment into the lives of people. So I think before you got here, I asked the question, and that was no slam on that. I mean it that way. Is can only John see them in the spirit realm, or can human beings see them? So it could be that what John is seeing in the spirit realm are these demonic hordes, and he's describing what they look like that we can't see. So all we're doing is experiencing torment for 5 months and don't know why. right? So, because that was one of the questions. If you see these, one author says how locusts go shoulder to shoulder and you can't stop them, it would be like that, where these are just shoulder and they're coming right to you and you can't stop them. There's nothing you can do because their breastplate is like iron. There's nothing that can stop them from getting to you. How terrifying that would be if that's real.
Words repent, they're coming at them to eat them, and someone says, Jesus,
forgive me. It could. Because when it says the rest of mankind, when we get there, there seems to be that not every, it's like humankind as a whole, but not humankind as an individual. Right? So it's like all of humankind, like all the people of the United States, but I'm living in Idaho. I'm one person in the whole. So there's nothing I think in scripture that says that individuals don't come to Christ, but of the billions of people on the planet, most of them do not. It's the whole, right?
I wonder too, as part of the locust part isn't about the numbers. I mean, I know there's more, but just, you know, there's so many of them. That's a horde.
Yeah. And can you imagine, just put a picture in your mind, whether it be small or big, let's say you can see this coming towards you. So it's got this unnatural human face.
Yeah.
It's got teeth like a lion, and it's got women's hair. And the sound they make is like chariots. And how terrifying this is, what John has seen, that, like I said, this is the most descriptive that John gets with any of the unnatural beings in the book, that there's something where he's describing the terror and the torment that these demonic horde brings on the earth, that there is something so terrifying about it that you're looking and seeing unnatural human features attached to a lion feature, attached to a woman's feature, and then you've got these crowns on their head, which what do crowns represent? Royal authority. Very good. Royal authority. So there's nothing, here's the point, no army, no navy, no chemical, no anything can stop these. Nothing can stop these, whether they can be seen or not. Nothing can stop this horde of demonic beings released on the earth to torment people for 5 months. So when John says it's got breastplates, it might not literally have breastplates, but in the spiritual realm, he might have seen it. What he's trying to tell you, that this iron breastplate was one of the greatest defensive weapons of that time, that there's nothing that can stop these creatures, beings, from getting at you, and you are going to suffer for 5 months. And what we don't know, notice that there's nothing that the face does to human beings, like the lion's teeth doesn't bite them. Notice there's nothing there. It's always in the tail, and we'll see that when we get to the other part, where we see the army of 200 billion or whatever it is, that the power of this being is in the tail, like a scorpion who's just going to sting. And we don't know if it's sting, 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 sting. I don't know if it's constant stinging. I did try to do some research on scorpion sting. How long does it last? It also varied, but it could be that it's not just one sting, but it's a constant stinging until those 5 months are over. So the torment, John is trying to paint a picture to us, guys. This is really awful. And he's going, and this is only the first woe.
So Lori kind of brought up something that, like, she was saying, like, if you were in the land of Goshen, I guess that time, and would there be a way for them to be, I wonder if there would be a way for them to end it by just repenting.
Speculation is that with repentance would become the seal of God on your forehead.
You can stop the
torment because now you carry the seal. Right? So Joel chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says this. talking about locusts. They have the appearance of horses. They gallop like cavalry. With a noise like that of chariots, they leap over the mountaintops, like a crackling fire consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle. So in Joel's vision of the locusts, he uses very similar words as John uses in describing these locusts that are released on the earth. They are prepared for war, may indicate either the eagerness with which they spring forth to inflict punishment or the protective armament described in verse 9. So we don't know. They're eager to do this. They're ready to go after humankind. And God has to put limitations on them or they would destroy everything. So God says, you can only do this. Even in this, look at the mercy of God. Okay, everybody, sunshine. Yay! We'll finish up next week. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to get heavier. So we have to get through this to get to the yay part.
Yeah.
Now, we're not learning this just so my heart is, I just want to learn this so I can describe who is what.
Right.
This is going to happen one day. Whether it's pre, post, mid, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is going to happen one day. We have an assignment. We've got people who need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Who's in? I love Jack Hayford, who just passed away. Jack, he mentored me. I got to meet him one time. Wow, what a great guy he was. Love the Lord. He uses his hand for an object, and he said, who's within your grasp that you can pray for, you can love on, and you can share with? Because you don't have to go to Africa. Who's within your grasp? So pray for them. Love them. Share with them. You know, he just kept doing this thing. Who do you know that's within your grasp that you can share the love of Christ? For some, they need a message. Some, they just need a talking to. And some just need to be loved. But everyone can be prayed for. So let's commit, who's ever in your grasp, who's ever in relationship with you, Father, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to share with them. I'm going to do what I can because this is going to happen. And that's not fear-based. That's just reality-based. That all this goes away. And there are people who are going to go through this. Oof. So God has called us to this valley and beyond. He's called us right to this area. You're here not because of any other reason, but God needs you here. He needed you here. Within your grasp, there are people that you can just, by name, Father, I'm asking you. John chapter 6, no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws them. Father, draw them. Now I'm going to watch. If I see any kind of spiritual interest in their lives, I'm going to take that as God is drawing them. Because Romans chapter 3 says, no one seeks God, no one. So when I hear anyone that has a spiritual interest, whether it's Jesus or not, there's a spiritual interest, that is God saying to them, he's real. He's drawing them. Now I'm the representative to say, let me tell you who's drawing you. His name is Jesus.
I'm going to push on that a little bit more. We don't always see that spiritual interest. I have, you know, 20 years, you won't see it. But if you provoke it a little bit and challenge it a little bit and question their own view a little bit, then you start having
more. Yeah.
Well, and then sometimes you plant the seed in somebody else.
Sure. Right. That makes gross, right?
Yeah.
So my wife and I just, I'll be closing the tell story. So Friday night, we went to a bar.
Right on.
Yeah. In Moscow, Idaho. And we didn't drink any alcohol. A friend was there, was playing. And so we watched, we wanted to support them and listen. And I watched. And I thought, God, are you calling us to a bar ministry?
That's awesome.
Because, man, I'll tell you what, gang, here's the thing I watched. There was so much family and interaction and laughter. And once they got lubricated a little bit more, there was a lot more laughter. But I'll tell you, I watch people engage and high and hug and talk and dance and do all this stuff. And I go, man, they're just missing the element of Jesus. Right? But I thought to myself, man, and I go, Deb, do you think that's called us to a bar ministry? And she goes, I won't go without her though. I'll tell you, there's some weird ducks, man. There's some weird ducks there. But the reality of it is, I'm looking at all these people and they're looking for something. And it's Jesus, right? And so we ran into a couple of people we know, not from the church, but people we know. Now make sure that's clear. Okay, you're all going, who is it? Who is there? Is it you, Lord? You know. But I just felt my heart for them. God, they need you. And they're having a blast. They're having fun, but when it's all said and done, they're going back to what?
So now
when
somebody comes up and goes, yeah, it's like Pastor Bar. I
mean, yeah. So you guys know that now.
So then what you do
so
then,
yes.
Thank you, man. Yeah. We had nothing that would be inappropriate, you know, but it was amazing also the amount of people who just came up and talked to us. They don't know us from Adam. They just talked to us. Oh man. So if you guys know a good bar I need to go to, maybe not. The bar, but up. But why not? Why not? Why can't Christians go into that locale and just be light? You know,
the same example.
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna finish chapter 9 next week, Lord willing. So, just to guys let you know this, February 12th is Sunday, and that is Super Bowl Sunday. And I have a tradition. I do things with my son and his wife. We have dinner, we celebrate, we have play games, and we watch the game. So February 12th, I'm going to keep that tradition with my son. So let you know that.
Do you want to know or do you not?
I don't want to know.
You guys are in the league.
I just said I don't want to know. What part of I don't want to know? What part did you not catch?
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. You just said.
You don't know him by now, Mike. He's going to tell you anyways.
And you need to let this couple sit next to each other next time.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. We were stretching a little bit tonight. Okay, Mike. You said you ran into a friend. Did it hurt?
What up, Buzz? No. No, it didn't.
Yeah, we can do the
thing
right here.
Almost a
Put your phones away.
I gotta ask you that. Was the food good?
I didn't eat. We just went support our friend. Hold on a second.
The demons that cast pigs and the pigs that drown themselves.
Yeah.
Are the demons still in those pigs? Thank you for asking that. That has always been my same question.
Repeat that.
I wanted to ask you this. Yes, good job. Do it again.
Repeat that.
So the question is, when the demons got cast with the pigs and they drowned themselves, are the demons still the pigs?
Yes. No.
No. Because they want to inhabit a body. They want to inhabit a they want to have a body.
So they would
look
for another body.
They're looking for more. So they're looking for love in their own, you know. They jumped out. They jumped out afterwards. Because they can't, they're looking to inhabit and they can't die. So. See you guys.